morning on 2FM.
2FM. Now, the last couple of years have been some of the best ever in Irish comedy. 2018 brought us The Young Offenders, Derry Girls, and this year has seen some exceptional Irish comedy brought to the big screen. One of those is Dark Lies the Island, a jet black comedy written by Kevin Barry and directed by Ian Fitzgibbon. And I want to find out, is it really a comedy if it's really jet black? Anyway, it has a roll call of some of the best actors working in Ireland right now, and my next guest is one of them. It hits cinemas on Friday. It's Peter Coonan who's here with me now to tell me all about it. Peter, welcome to the programme. Now, Peter, let's take a look at all this here. Tell me about the movie.
It's a mixture of his short stories, two collections of short stories, Dark Lies the Island and Little Kingdoms. It kind of picks various characters from various short stories within those two collections. But the film itself is basically about a family in the Midwest of Ireland called the Mannions. And the patriarch of the family is played by Pat Short, and the two sons are myself and Mo Dunford. Now, we are both dealing separately with different mental health issues because of the lack of love from our father, and he was a man who was greedy for success and power within this village, and he has done that, but in doing so he has treated his family with the utmost disrespect. So my character Doggy is agoraphobic, who is living in his caravan, but he still has, this is the beauty of Kevin, he's able to kind of juxtapose a character who is deeply troubled and is stuck in time, also has the wherewithal and the savvy to keep three businesses afloat just by using his mobile phone.
Like Kevin Barry, who we're talking about here, who has lived Sligo direction for at least a decade, if not more, and can take in everything from Sligo and Leitrim and Roscommon and find something pretty weird in it, or pretty different in it, or pretty kind of out there in it, or whatever. Is that what we're looking at here? And can I call it a rural gothic western?
You could call it a rural gothic western. I mean, it's more of a dark comedy drama. But I mean, yeah, it's set in the middle of a town that, you know, you could have tumbleweed blowing through it and some Ennio Morricone music playing in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's kind of a story about forgotten people in Ireland and people that are left behind in villages when, say, Celtic Tiger took over and people started to get greedy and move on and try to earn a big buck in the big smoke. But I mean, it's about family, it's about loss, it's about mental health, it's about how we deal with unhappiness, like, you know, kind of like what Beckett said about there's nothing funnier than unhappiness, you know, and that darkness within there. So I mean, the challenge, I think, was from an acting point of view, was get your mouth around the language, which is so kind of arresting and visceral and poetic at the same time, and make that as normal speak as possible.
And what's the scene about your character here, Doggy Malone, in this movie called Dark Lies the Island? Is it that you're so incredibly sexy that Sarah, who's married to Daddy, let's get this one right now, who fancies who? Does she fancy you and you fancy her?
Well, she's kind of my long lost love since we were teenagers.
Right.
And
your man she's married to is 20 years older.
And your man she's married to is my father, who's 20 years older.
Exactly.
So I've terrible tragedy has befallen us in our late teenage years, and I didn't deal with it very well, and coming out of whatever kind of period I had, a lull in life for want of a better description, she has shacked up with my father, and this has irked me something terrible and has driven me to spend how many years in my caravan doing drugs and drinking and setting up businesses and making money, but which is in comparison to my brother, who couldn't keep a business afloat. He's tried everything from tanning beds to gastropubs.
And is there any way at all you summoned up your inner Fran? Because the film centres around a family feud. You must have brought some of your love-hate experience to that storyline.
No, not at all. It was completely different. I mean, I actually did a play called On Raftery's Hill by Marina Carr, and that I played a character called Dead Raftery, and there was a lot of similarities between that character and Doggy Mannion, two kind of men who are beaten down by the by their fathers and not given any love at all. So it's a totally different challenge from Fran, Love Hate. And I think that's kind of something that I've consciously done since I've finished Love Hate, and predominantly in the last 3 or 4 years, is to try and take on roles, be it theatre or television or film, where I can kind of put myself in a position that it's a challenge to take on certain roles, and that I have to trust in myself and the director to find something new.
Okay, well, in Dark Lies the Island, the story unfolds over a week. A long-standing family feud basically comes to a head, and all participants have to face up to the truth of their own circumstance and their own heads. Kevin Barry, the work, were you familiar with his stuff before you took up this role?
Yeah, well, I'd worked on a feature film as well up in Donegal, and there's a great props master called Jim Walsh who was working on it, and we got on very well. And Jim gave me City of Bohan and said, you've got to read this. It was after his short story collections.
Right.
He said, you've got to read this. Someone needs to make this because you'd need a fair bit of money, he said, but there's a part in there for you for sure. And I went on and read it over time because it's one of those books that you kind of constantly have to restart if you don't have the time to read it over 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But I fell in love with it, and I fell in love with the language and the characters and description and the language, and it's just beautiful, arresting, kind of engrossing novel. And it was just a world that was I had inhabited for a few months when trying to get through the book, which I finally finished. But then an audition came in front of me for this film called Dark Like the Island, which was penned by Kevin Barry.
Mm.
And the language was very similar. And so for me, I went off to kind of work on it. And then I speak into my good lady, Kim, and we were going through it, and she was helping me as she does and often tells me to kind of bring it down a bit. Very much to finish off, I was very much kind of thinking if this was a role that was very suited to me, and that if I didn't get a role like this, that, you know, maybe I should reconsider.
Okay, I'm just thinking about that. Like, your good lady Kim, three kids, one only, what, 6, 7 weeks old, whatever. So that's three. And like, you have to get into the character, and then you have to take this character possibly home with you. Do you think that if you do take a character home, you do it more during rehearsals, and once you're doing it every night on the stage, it's just, it starts and it ends?
Yeah, I do believe that happens on stage. But like, I mean, with that play I spoke about on Raftery's Hill, that was a very difficult play to tackle. I mean, the story itself is about incest, and that was a headspace to get into at times was very difficult. And I remember we only did about a 12 show run, which was disappointing. But if I'd gone on for longer, if that was something you did for 2-3 months, I was saying to my colleagues that you'd have to really mind yourself and look after your mental health, because if you're jumping into that every night, it was a very tortured character that you would really need to take care of yourself. But with film, I suppose you're doing that for a period of a month or so. And with this, it was kind of broken down. The main intense parts I had to do was over a week in the caravan. So as I was saying to someone recently, that I just went home to my dad's, which was logistically closer anyway, and gave me extra half hour of sleep, but also gave me time to sleep and to be able to come back and process what I did and then go back out the next day and do it again. And I got pretty nice meals cooked for me as well.
Right, but like, what about the change of character? I mean, psycho in some ways, Fran, for the start of Love Hate, but lovable rogue later on, possibly?
Yeah, I think the different experiences, the different situations that happened to him over...
Okay, psychotic lovable rogue.
Psychotic lovable rogue, for sure. Yeah, well, I mean, I think that could be down to the way that Stuart wrote it and the way that I developed and he developed and he saw me and we spent time together, that it just kind of went that way organically.
And what is the thing that keeps you alive in your character? Like, you're agoraphobic. You certainly want to be alone in your caravan in this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that keeps you going? What do you do? There's something about having the past there all the time, favourite football teams, posters and whatever. And is that, what's the reason for that? What's the reason for having the past there when you're living in the present anyway? Just like, why do you need the past? Is it to keep you sane?
It's to keep you sane. It's because you can't let go. I mean, in the caravan, there was photos from my youth, a whole wall of it.
Yeah.
And then the music that I'd be playing would be from that time and that era. It's just because you can't let go, because something happened, you come out of a trauma, you go into a trauma before something happens, and it's kind of a state of bliss. And then the trauma happens and you go into a very dark place, and then whatever period that takes for you to get over whatever trauma you're going through, you come out of that again and you've changed for better, for worse, more often for worse, and in this doggy scenario for worse. And then that divide has become so big that you constantly look at the past with glowing memories, and that is what you always want to go back to, because you can't move on. And that's the trauma of, I mean, the anxiety that he lives with, that if he goes outside he might have to move on from that.
Right.
So he's scared to move on from that. He's,
well, moving on from that now, or moving back actually, your actress mother, amateur whatever, Gaiety, etc., when she was O'Caseying and Freeling and Tennessee Williamsing, were you soaking it all up?
Subconsciously, I was. I think I used to read on the bed with her when she was learning her lines for Juno and for Cat in the Hot Tin Roof and for various other plays. So I must have been, I mean, I know for a fact that when the Dublin Theatre Festival used to happen, the amateur theatre festival used to happen in the Rupert Guinness Theatre on Thomas Street, that I used to go into that every March, and it was an exciting time. And I'll never forget the moment that I looked down from the balcony at translations I'd been watching, and I actually remember standing up and seeing that moment when Kotchuk and Yolland are on the stage and they're having that beautiful moment and they can't understand each other. And I remember watching that as a, I think I was 11, and just kind of being so transfixed by this beautiful moment that was happening. It was just pure love was happening on that stage, but the trick that Friel put into place was they couldn't understand each other. They couldn't get the... There was a language, but there was no actual barrier. It wasn't a language barrier. The love between two people was vivid and it was happening within their eyes, but the language was there and they were telling each other what they felt, but no, but they didn't know what each other were exactly, precisely saying. So that was something that obviously stayed with me for a long time. And I think at that point I was like, okay, really, this is an interesting thing I would like to do more of and study a bit.
And you have. Funny thing is that like there's a few actors down through the years who've played two characters in a movie. In fact, there's one this week with Will Smith and Gemini Man. But there's also...
Tom Hardy?
No, yeah, right, exactly. No, but there was also Jean-Claude Van Damme in a movie where he played the bad brother and the good brother. Do you ever remember? I can't remember. But the headline thing, the selling of the movie, twice the Van Damme. It was brilliant. You have to see that. Anyway, you've done the two people in the one movie thing, haven't you, with the guarantee. The banking system thingamabob.
That was, I was only talking to someone about that the other day. I mean, at the time, I kept the tash, I remember. That was the one thing, and a kind of a Calvin accent. I suppose the question is, did it work? I mean, it was an interesting thing to do. For me as an actor, it was interesting to do because you were playing completely two different parts. But I think as a kind of a, as a trick to, for a film, a lot of people ask me, like, why did you do it? I knew it was you. But I mean, it's exciting to do something like that. I thought that was a very good film, actually, that Ian put together. A lot of information in one kind of feature, but a really, really good idea.
Actually, did you play Brendan Behan? You played the character himself as such, did you, Borstal?
As a young man.
As a young man.
Yeah.
And like, how long ago was that?
That was in 2014. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Just before Love Hate 5.
Yeah, about happened. 5 years ago. Yeah, but like, by the way, speaking of whatever, what's that in your hand there?
Oh, so this is Féile Lich Triota na Gaeilge Imram. And next week there is a beautiful show, Fear na Hoghann, Riverman, where Gabriel Rosenstock has translated Nick Drake's beautiful lyrics into Gaeilge, and Liam Wainley and some other musicians are playing his music in the pavilion.
All right, the four albums that he had, or the three and a half albums that he had. Yeah.
Stunning, stunning work.
Do you know an amazing thing about Nick Drake? They had five-hour thing on BBC Two one night about maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and it's brilliant. Now, BBC Two is television, I remember, not radio. 5 hours. Do you know how much film footage they had?
What?
None.
What?
Not one. You haven't even got him running along the beach as a five-year-old with his parents and that. There isn't one piece of film anywhere of Nick Drake. That just makes him 10 times better.
It's incredible. So this five-hour, I think I've seen snippets of the five-hour.
It's just his sister talking and collating the
and people's playing his music.
And people doing stuff on odds and ends.
Yeah.
But I think it's fantastic. There's nothing available of the great Nick Drake. Okay, so what else are you working on at the moment?
There's a series coming out at the end of the year or maybe early next year called Cold Courage, which is a Finnish, Belgian, Irish, Icelandic co-production. It's a series about a clandestine underground group who are tackling a right-wing conservative movement happening within Europe and specifically in England, in Britain, where someone is moving into power who thinks that power is for them to control and to do whatever they want with.
And you're talking on Rafferty's Hill as well, because you recently played the role of Dead Rafferty in that. Yeah. Nomination for Irish Times Theatre Award for Best Supporting Actor. You haven't mentioned Dublin Murders.
Oh, yes.
So far, so great. I mean, the reviews are very good.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I saw the first episode last week.
That's what I mean. Naylor.
Yeah. So I played John Naylor. Yeah, yeah. Well, a lovely part and incredible scripts. A woman, Sarah Phelps, she wrote the scripts, which were just incredible. The minute I read them, I mean, I hadn't read something as exciting by Kevin as with TV as good as that since, like, Stuart when he was writing Love Hate. But she managed to capture the Irish. She managed to capture this dark underworld and these incredible characters which Sarah and Killian play and are brilliant together. I saw it last week with Killian and them. So, yeah, I play a small part in that, but it was a great experience to work on something like that. But it's great to see something of such high quality.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, production value is just incredible. Yeah. The soundscape is phenomenal. The everything about it is. I don't think from the first episode I saw, not one thing.
Yeah.
Not one person or one thing dropped the ball. You know, really high quality TV drama.
All right. Well, listen, Peter. Thanks a million for dropping in. Peter Coonan. It is Dark Lies the Island is in cinemas now. And as I say, thanks a million, Peter. Go on yourself.
Thanks for having me.
Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.